Attention parents, what you're about to see is not suitable for kids. Shoot, it's not even suitable for some grown-ups. You might want to walk away now if you ain't into these type of things.
I'm going to give the people what they want. Sensation, horror, shock.
I'm going to deliver the goods because I'm alive and I'm not backing down.
Cuckoo, cuckoo.
Creepos, welcome to another edition of your favorite true crime podcast, the show about creeps, by creeps, for you creeps. So my name is Vinny, I'm your delightful host, and next to me is this big fucking pile of shit named Carl.
What is happening, Vinny Paulino? So good to be back on the Creep Off with you, my friend.
Is it?
It is. It is, because the first thing we do on this show is talk about the voting that happened from last week's show.
You know what? I didn't stay up till midnight last night. I did not stay up that late.
Yeah, I didn't need to. It wasn't a real nail biter this week, was it? Let's see. What are the results from last week's voting?
All right, fine.
This is Carl with 69%. My creepy Germans. And also, I want to state that 69% makes a lot of sense because this is episode number 69.
69, dudes!
That's hell yeah. Right. We made it.
It's all coming together.
So we have 8 shows left.
69, dudes!
Are we counting down till we get to 77 and we just blow this thing up?
Why are we blowing it up at 77?
Because we're going to end at the same time Biggest Problem in the Universe ended, I guess.
Well, that was...
That's the theory that I've heard.
That's the theory you've heard. Well, Biggest Problem actually went to 107, but 77, I think, was when Maddox tried out a different co-host, Asterios Kokonos, and then he realized it didn't work and had to bring Dick back on the show.
I wonder if I could get that guy for episode 77. Do you think he'd come and do it?
I don't know, man. That guy's gotten, like, real woke and weird because people have talked about maybe reviewing his show on WATP because he's got this weird show with his girlfriend or something that sucks.
Yeah, I'm not interested anymore.
Yeah. I think it's called The Wildest Podcast, which is not a good selling point.
Fuck that shit.
Yes.
So welcome to the Creep Off. For those of you who are new to the show, just want to remind you this is a contest. Carl and I every week will nominate a creep for our category. And this week's category is our creepiest childhood hero. Carl, today we had to get personal.
Yeah, this is a fun one.
We had to pick the people that we actually cared about in our lives
that
turned out to be absolute creeps. And then the question at the end is going to be very simple. You know, which one of these people was creepier? And then, you know, how deeply scarred are you by the fact that they turned out to be a creep? And can you separate the person from the art?
Interesting. Interesting.
So, Carl, you won last week, which means that you have now 1 point in this new game.
Yes!
First person to 5 has to spin the evil wheel of consequences.
No, the other person has to spin.
Yeah, that's true.
When someone gets to 5.
I screwed it up, so I guess...
That's good, though. I'm glad that we're recapping some of this stuff.
Yeah,
this
so...
This is good. A couple of new listeners out there.
A couple of people have come up to me, and they go, so listen, I'm trying to figure this thing out, and I totally understand. Every 69 episodes, we will do a little bit of an update of
the
rules.
There's a lot of rules, too. Like, I don't even know all the rules to this game. Like, we did the Who Are These Creeps bonus episode. You won that, and I don't even know what I'm supposed to do because you won that. I don't know if there's a consequence.
Actually, I have it written down here in the official rule
book. Yeah, pull up the rule book.
It says, if Vinny wins, Who Are These Creeps, Carl has to try meth.
Yes! I was hoping for that one.
Let's try meth.
All right, I'm going to do meth on next week's show.
All right.
That'll be fun.
We're going to start the contest, and let's start this walk down the path of misery from our childhood, shall we, Carl?
Let's do it. So
Let's rumble!
I was thinking of a lot of different people who were heroes of mine when I was younger. You know, people like...
I feel like Pee Wee Herman is the guy that my brain went to immediately.
Yeah.
And a couple people that when they asked me what we were doing this week, they all said, oh, Pee-wee Herman.
That's what people said to me too. And I said, but he's not a creep. He was jerking off in a porn theater. That's what you're supposed to do there.
That's a Tuesday.
It was before the internet. Like, what do you want the guy to do?
He did it the one day the owner didn't pay off the cops.
Right.
It's not on him.
He's not a creep at all. And I said, well, I know Vinny's going to pull out a super duper creep, so I got to find someone who's a little creepier than Pee Wee Herman. And now, Vinny, there's a few things that you know about me. All my life, always rooting for the Buffalo Bills, and one of my childhood heroes really let me down.
Hey, Twitter world, it's me, yours truly.
That's right, Twitter world. It's me, yours truly, the great O.J. Simpson. I remember in 1968, he was playing for the USC Trojans. He won the Heisman Trophy that year when he was in college. And I was hoping in 1969 that the Bills would draft him, and they did with their first pick.
You weren't alive in 1969.
They drafted O.J. Simpson, and I was so excited. In 1973, he rushed for 2,003 yards in a 14-game season.
This math doesn't work out.
He set a single-season yards per game record with 143.1 yards per game. That has still not been broken, Vinny. I was there in the 14th game that season when he had a 7-yard rush.
You couldn't have been there.
You could not have been there. Yards, and I was cheering. I was chucking my beer. I'm like, woo! OJ! Juice! 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 We were all chanting his name.
Ugh.
Then in 1994. So this guy has a great football career. He goes on to star in movies. The great Naked Gun series, where he's hilarious.
Those are fucking great movies. They're great. I'm not going to lie.
And OJ is great at that, for
yes,
real.
Yes, he really is. I won't argue.
He's legit very funny.
Let me tell you something. He made me, as a child, want to rent a car. He really
right.
was good at what he did.
He was the Hertz guy, yes.
Yeah, he certainly was, but that was later.
So, in 1994, he did something that was pretty funny. He turned his ex-wife, Nicole Brown Simpson, and her friend, Ron Goldman, into human Pez dispensers. And this was seen by a lot of people as creepy behavior. A lot of people weren't cool with it.
Like his kids?
So.
Their children? The children they had together?
Obviously, he was found
Rod's
not guilty.
Parents?
He was found not guilty. The LAPD framed him for this murder because they hate black people. According to a 2016 poll, 83% of white Americans.
I can't even look at you.
83% of white Americans and 57% of black Americans believe Simpson committed the murders.
Who cares?
How do they think that? He was found innocent. And then, because the Goldmans are such jerks, they decided to sue him. A civil court awarded a $33.5 million judgment against him.
I can't even look at you.
In 1997.
I don't even want to fucking look at you, you piece of shit.
This is the best part. I didn't even know about this. In 2000, Orenthal James Simpson moved to Florida and settled in Miami to avoid paying any more of the liability judgment. He's only paid a fraction of the money that he lost in that civil suit. Because Florida is one of the few states where pensions and or residences cannot generally be seized to collect debt. Did you know that?
No, I didn't.
That's hilarious. Someone sues you like, ah, I'm just going to move to Florida. See ya.
We'll see you in Florida.
Yeah. Hey, Stuttering John, sorry. Go to Florida. Bye-bye.
But where will they deliver the Tesla?
In 2007, Orenthal James Simpson was given $600,000 to put out a book titled If I Did It.
Yes, he was.
Yes. Which is amazing. Now, the Goldman family wasn't happy about this. So they took him to court over it.
What was their issue?
I don't know. They're just jerks, these people. They won't leave OJ alone. So they took him to court and they changed the title of the book to If I Did It, Confessions of the Killer. Uh-huh. Which, the guy was found innocent. Now, what he did do that was a crime in 2007, he was arrested in Las Vegas and charged with felonies of armed robbery and kidnapping. In 2008, he was convicted and sentenced to 33 years imprisonment with a minimum of 9 years without parole. He served his sentence and he was granted parole on July 20th, 2017, when he was initially eligible for that parole. And you know what he does now?
Twitter.
He's my favorite Twitter foul. This guy is amazing. Now, people might not know this, but OJ is PC. You should call him PC Simpson. This is him on Carl Nassib, the guy who just came out openly gay NFL player.
Oh, well, all the conversation today is about Naysip, the Raider defensive player who, I guess, came out of the closet, so to speak. Hey, man, more power to you, man. That's terrific. And $100,000 that you donated to that charity is just over the top. I mean, that's really something special. You know, over the years, people have asked me, hey, man, did you play with gay athletes? Of course I did.
Who's asking him that?
They're everywhere. I mean,
well, I retired before Jim Kelly started playing.
Did you first start sucking dick in prison, or was it out of the Buffalo Bills? People always ask me.
It would be in whatever, you know, post office.
Wait, did you just call Jim Kelly gay?
Yeah.
I'm going to come over there.
What of it?
I am going to come over there.
What are you going to do about it?
The police departments, any profession, you have it. I mean, it may not come out, but they're there. Trust me, I saw an announcer today, an ex-player, said he played 14 years, and he kind of said, well, I never really played with a gay athlete. I said, you got to be kidding me. I started laughing. Of course you have. You just have not played with an openly gay athlete.
So OJ is totally fine with this.
Yeah.
He thinks gay athletes in football, no problemo. So he's very PC, but he's not woke, Vinny. He is not woke.
But oh, I got to say this. I do protest what's happening down in New Zealand. They're allowing Hubbard, the weightlifter, trans in, a female weightlifter, compete in the Olympics. Now, that's, as far as I'm concerned, wrong. He was born biologically a guy. Men are biologically stronger, faster, and in most cases have more endurance than female. That's not my opinion. Just look at all the record book.
Uh-oh, Sarah Silverman, are you listening to this? You might want to scold OJ. This is pretty brutal what he's saying here on Twitter. I can't believe he's saying this.
Let me tell you something. The only thing that will ever get me to listen to Sarah Silverman's podcast again is if she goes on and starts yelling at OJ over this. I would give that a listen.
OJ, it's a woman. What do you mean? It's just a woman.
Oh, Jesus. Oh, by the way, speaking of which, sorry to interject.
Yeah, go ahead.
Fucking to our pal Igor.
Yeah, yeah.
He sent me a link to a video. Apparently, Jessica Yanov's clit is falling off.
Of course it is.
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know who super glued it on. I don't know who fucking put it on there. But yeah, of course it is. And I'm not clicking the link. So
okay.
Just so everybody knows, stop fucking sending it to me.
So for people who think that we should have national healthcare like they do up in Canada.
Can't even keep your clit
on. Can't even keep a clit on. These fucking people.
I mean, fuck it. How much is a staple?
Not in the budget for Canada. Okay.
All right.
So what I love about OJ is he was fine with ending a couple people's lives, but he doesn't want anyone else to die. And the message that he keeps putting out on Twitter is all about getting vaccinated. He is adamant that everyone needs to get vaccinated.
In any event, take care, get your shots, and God bless. Everybody else, go and get your shots. We got this new variant coming down, and everybody needs to get their shots. I'm just saying. Take care. Good luck. Go and get your shots.
All right. I will.
Take cheers. Okie dokie. Hey, take care. Get your shots. I'm just saying. Hey, look, get your shots, and I hope all is well, and football will be here soon, and all we'll talk about is football then. I'm just saying, take care.
I'm just saying. I love this guy. He's the best.
He fucking sucks, and you suck too.
So I learned a fun fact. Now, I don't like the term fun fact, but this one is truly a fun fact. I don't know if you know this about Orenthal. His father was a well-known drag queen in San Francisco. Later in life, Jimmy Simpson announced that he was gay and died of AIDS in 1986 because everyone who announced they were gay in the 80s died of AIDS. I don't know if you knew that or not. But did you know that
OJ's
dad was a famous drag queen?
It checks out. Those legs.
I didn't know that.
Those legs. His dad could have run 2,500 yards in high heels in a season.
Yeah. Yeah. And jump over a bouncer or two, too.
Yeah.
Very impressive.
Yeah. Yeah, to run away from typical Buffalo people trying to beat him up. So listen, here's the thing.
What's the thing?
O.J. Simpson yeah. is a creep. But you started this off talking about certain years that O.J. was your childhood hero.
Yeah. Childhood hero.
See Carl, loved you're him. Not that much older than me.
Childhood hero, baby.
And you are definitely the old one on the show.
When he went to San Francisco to play for the Niners, it just broke my heart. Yeah. I couldn't believe seeing him in that uniform.
Well, he wanted to be closer to his dad.
Seeing him, I know he knew his dad was going to die of AIDS, so he had to get over there. But seeing him in that uniform just really just shattered me. Shattered me.
Just shut the fuck up. You're so full of shit. He was not your childhood hero.
He was.
Maybe you liked the Naked Gun movies when you saw him on VHS at some point in the late 80s, early 90s. But yeah, pal.
I had season tickets to the Bills in the 70s. I went to every single game. I watched them lose to the Miami Dolphins.
For a whole decade.
Every single game of the 1970s. That's true. Look it up.
All right.
Every single game they lost. And they played them twice a season.
You certainly did. You certainly did just de-escalate the situation. I am appeased. Thank you for admitting that and reminding everyone.
Oh, man. And O.J. wanted nothing to do with going to the Bills when he was drafted. He threatened to just go into
Neither did Jim Kelly.
I know.
Jim Kelly was like, I'll go play for the U.S. fucking NFL, whatever that shit was.
Well, you know what O.J. threatened? He threatened to go into acting. He's like, you know what? I'll just become a movie star. I don't need this shit. I don't want to go play for Buffalo. You know what his contract was? He demanded $650,000 over 5 years. $650,000 over 5 years, what they used to pay. He was the highest paid player, and Ralph Wilson was not having it. He was not, and then he finally gave in.
I believe from Ralph Wilson, the term uppity was used a few times.
I believe that might be true.
Fucking old piece of shit. Rested dirt dickhead.
Oh, the worst was when we renamed our stadium the Ralph. Like, it's bad enough that people actually do get very drunk and get sick. I've seen it happen in Bills games.
That made perfect sense to me.
And then they call the stadium the Ralph.
Like, whenever I fucking see
it. Can it be Wilson Field or something?
Room the Ralph. Full of Bills fans. I want to barf. Fucking gross.
All right. That's my creep this week. Orenthal James Simpson, the man who turned two people into human Pez dispensers. Vinny, what do you got, buddy?
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm going to tell you something right now. This is the least prepared I've ever been for an episode of The Creep Off, but I have done way more work than Carl has, and I don't even feel bad. I walked into this feeling like a piece of shit, and I feel great now. So, ladies and gentlemen, let's start this off. My creep is a guy that anyone my age had ever wanted to get into comedy idolized as a kid. Not just for his amazing command of the comedy stage, his staggeringly good timing and delivery, his incredible joke writing, the fact that he made comedy look so easy. He was also the star of the biggest show on TV, starting in 1986, when I was alive. And gentlemen, my creep this week is the man who is known as America's Dad, and he's been a creep for a while. Ladies and gentlemen, it's the Cos, Bill Cosby, folks.
See? This is why I put so little work into my creep this week, because I'm going to be Bill Cosby. He's the creepiest guy to ever exist. He's a serial rapist. I'm arguing on your side this week. I agree.
It's Bill so Cosby. Goddamn hard. And I didn't want to pick Bill Cosby.
Vinny, what did I respond to you when you texted me this week? Let's do childhood heroes. What did I respond to you?
You're going
to
do Cosby?
Yep, and I said, I don't know.
Yep,
I knew
because
it. I knew I'd lost when I got the text from you. I'm like, oh, well, I lose.
Do you want to know who my second and third place were?
Yeah.
Okay. The dude who... Drew Ren and Stimpy.
Oh, John Kay.
Yeah, John Kay. Pedo. Absolute pedo.
Really?
Pedo. Yep.
I know that?
I'll tell you more about it. We'll save him for another day.
Okay.
And then my second choice was Pete Townsend, because I was a huge Who fan when I was like 12 and 13.
He was just doing research, Vinny.
No. No. Oh, no, Carl.
No.
One of these days I'll do it for the Patreons. I'm going to do a dramatic reading of Pete Townsend's book, Horse's Neck. And then you tell me if you think Pete was a creep.
No, I know that, Vinny. I was talking about what his defense was. Remember when they found all the CP on his computer?
Yeah, I know. I was trying to do a tease for some extra content we might be able to do later. That's like half-assed. That's already like half done. But you ruined that because you wanted to make me look like I don't know what you're talking about. Fucking wait. Yeah. You know what? I can't really wait for episode 77.
Really peeling back the curtain today, aren't we?
Jesus Christ. So let's talk about the cause, shall we?
Do we need to? can we just give you the W and move on?
You want to go straight to the scum parade? Let's do it.
Yeah. No, go ahead. You did some research.
So here's the deal with this guy. He got married in the early 60s to a woman named Camille. He was a stand-up comic, and he was one of the biggest stand-up comics in the world. He was one of probably the most famous African-American comic, even though he started around the same time as Richard Pryor.
Right.
Richard Pryor played different circuits than Bill Cosby did, and Bill Cosby rose to fame a little bit quicker. But in the 60s, he's married, and the accusations, we know he's a serial rapist. He's in prison right now. I don't want to hide that. But the accusations against this man started back in the 60s.
Really?
Yeah. And people don't realize this. So what I did was I pulled just some pertinent details about a couple of these that maybe you didn't know about. And they're fucking heinous, dude. The shit that he got accused of.
Did you pull his stand-up routine where he talks about
Spanish Fly?
Spanish Fly.
Funny you should say that. This man did not make it a secret that he was into drugging people.
Correct.
This is from an album called It's True, It's True. And I'm not even shitting you. That's the name of the album. Listen to this great setup.
When I was 13, man, start talking about weird things. No, really. Stand on the corner. You know anything about Spanish Fly? What? Spanish Fly? It always happens when you're 13. Only when you're 13 on up to, like, when you get married. Guys stand around and talk about Spanish Fly, and it never starts with one of the guys on the corner. It's always some strange 13-year-old that says, you know what? You know anything about Spanish Fly?
No, I totally relate about it. To all of
well,
us.
There's this girl, Crazy Mary. You put some in her drink, man. She... yeah.
Child loves it.
Oh, yeah, that's really groovy, man. Spanish Fly is groovy. Yeah, boy.
Yeah, so basically... He goes on to pontificate.
From then on, man, anytime you see a girl, well, she has a Spanish Fly. Go to a party, see five girls standing alone. Boy, if I had a whole jug of Spanish Fly, I'd light that corner up.
I would just go drug the whole loser quarter of the
And he's
going to
get an applause break for that material?
I love stand-up. It is the greatest art form in the fucking world.
Wow.
You know what, though? I really want to point out something. Bill Cosby really was a hero of mine, and I did some thinking.
Are you saying OJ was not a hero of mine? Is that what you're trying to imply?
I'm saying that. If you said,
right,
Thurman Thomas had murdered his wife, I'd believe you.
2,003 yards in a 14-game season, Vinny. No one's done that.
When I first decided I wanted to pursue comedy in my life, like I was in high school, and it turns out that my guidance counselor was a failed open mic comic.
Okay.
Which is never the guy you should go get advice from. If your kid, if you find out that your kid's guidance counselor is a failed open micer,
dude,
fucking just switch schools. Move.
His profession is a guidance counselor.
Yeah.
He failed at life.
Yeah.
What's he going to tell you?
And I'm like, yeah, man.
Do you want to make $42,000 a year and go to an elementary school every day? That's what I do. Like, no, it's terrible.
I honest to God, I've always felt like guidance counselors were like the laziest kid on career day.
That's
they
right.
were just like, hey, man.
I'll just do what you do.
Yeah, like, what do you want to do? Like, I don't know this.
Yeah, sure,
I'm in. But this guy.
I realize you have your own car. I want to do what you do.
Oh. And look, he has a picture of a family. They look happy. This guy was such a nerd. But he was like, yeah, you know, I used to do comedy. Like, he was all cool. I go, really? Tell me about it. And I used to ask him about comedy all the time. And he told me I used to listen to Bill Cosby records. So I went and found Bill Cosby albums when I was probably 14. And I was listening to himself, and it's true, and it's true. So, like, I went back in a weird time in my life. And this really was influential to me because I wanted to pursue stand-up. And this is what the people that I knew who did it told me to listen to. Here, let's hear the end of the joke. This is a really good zinger. This is a great closer.
So I thought it only existed in Philadelphia, you know, and I'm working on I Spy, and Bob and I are working together. Sheldon Leonard comes up, says, boys, I Spy is going to Spain. A childhood dream come true.
I'm going to rape the whole country.
Wow.
Do you hear that applause, kids? Wide out there in the open.
So I have a question for you because I loved Steve Martin growing up. I had all his albums. And you go back and listen to it now and it's
Best Fishes.
It's not funny. And this Bill Cosby stuff is just not funny. It just doesn't hold up.
There's some stuff that does hold up. And I mean, honest to God, there's stuff that holds up. But you and I are at a different age.
Yeah.
Like, I say the material holds up. Our perceptions of the material change because you and I are two total pieces of shit.
That's
like,
a good
there's
point.
Nothing that is good to us.
That's a good point.
We are totally jaded.
Yes.
So
okay.
That's that. Now, let me talk a little bit more about the cause. Let's talk about this. So the first girl that accused him was Christine Rooley. He walked up to her and said, hey, you want to go to a party? He gave her two drinks. They went to this party. There was no one at the party. It was an empty room. She blacked out, woke up while being fucked by the cars. Lou Ferrigno's wife, Carla, invited her to the movies. His wife, Camille, was there as well. Camille got up to go to the restroom. Bill Cosby leads over and grabs Camille by the face and starts open-mouth kissing her in the movie theater when his wife walked out of the room. Okay, let's keep going. This is going to be fun. A lady named Joyce Emmons claims that during Cosby's appearance at her comedy club, he offered her a pill to help with her headache. Alleges the next thing she remembers was waking up naked next to not even Cosby, his friend. Okay. When confronted, Cosby said he gave her a Quaalude. She further asserts that Cosby had repeatedly offered to show off his large collection of drugs to her. Even though
I collect drugs.
He never took any drugs himself. Now, again, Bill Cosby was kind of a hero of mine.
I gotta start being a drug collector.
In around 2011,
yeah,
I got to work with and I kind of became friends with somebody. I'll drop the name because it is pertinent to this story. Richard Pryor's daughter, Rain. She's a funny comic. She's great.
Drop!
Rain and I were chatting. And I said, so, like, when you were little, did you ever, like, hang out with Cosby? And she goes, I wasn't allowed anywhere near him.
Yeah.
And I said, well, why is that? And she goes, because my mother wouldn't let me anywhere near that guy because she went to his house once. And, like, she was trying to get Richard Pryor to fucking clean up. And he goes over to Cosby's house, and Bill's like, oh, you want me to bust out the old suitcase? And he's got a fucking suitcase fucking full of pills.
Can I just say real quick, I am amazed it took you that long to go into your Bill Cosby impression. Well done, sir.
All right, thank
you. I thought that would have been pulled out much sooner in this
and it's the only one you're getting out of me. So he fucking, like, had a briefcase full of drugs that I've heard about. So I kind of, like, I've heard this from two different places now is all I'm saying. And she didn't want her to be anywhere near Bill Cosby because he enabled Richard Pryor have fucking whatever you want to, Richard. So Judith Huth, now here's some fun allegations, Carl, claims that at the age of 15, Cosby took her to his house, pilled her with drugs, then took her to the Playboy Mansion where he instructed her to tell people she was 19, then took her to a room where he masturbated himself with her hands. Now, because this was an alleged child sexual abuse case, and the statute of limitations on this began when Huff kind of started dealing with these things as the trauma of it as an adult, according to the LA police.
Okay.
Which is a weird thing about statute of limitations. So the cops tried to go back and do some investigating into it, and there was no way they were able to prove anything. But that's an allegation against him. Then another girl, Renita Cheney Hill, claims that while being involved with Cosby's children's show, Picture Pages, at the age of 15, Cosby made her consume drinks that would make her unconscious until the next day. When she complained about the drinks, Cosby said that was the only way she could continue to see him. Claims she has one memory of Cosby kissing her before she passed out. Here's another fun fact for the episode.
Okay.
Bill Cosby paid her college tuition. Now,
so you think maybe he's guilty of something there?
Now,
is that what you're implying?
Carl, I have an absolute breaking news story here for you.
All right.
One of these accusers only has their first name listed, and that person's name is Casey.
Okay.
Casey claims that after a professional relationship with Cosby, on one occasion, he insisted she take a white pill to help her relax. She alleges she blacked out and woke up next to Cosby in a bed, and she claims that she has not regained her natural energy or speaking voice since.
Well, she can't talk anymore?
No, she's just very slow. She took this pill and it relaxed her too much. She hasn't been able to get right since, and now she studies dirt in Florida.
Okay, yeah, that would check out.
All right. And then Janice Dickinson, supermodel Janice Dickinson,
yes,
says she hung out with Bill Cosby. He gave her some drinks, and she woke up the next day with a sore asshole. Her words, not mine. So Like, this is all going on from the 60s up until 2008 yes. was the last accuser. So he's well into his 70s at this point. I'm guessing he lost his sex drive. And the thing about Bill Cosby that makes him the most hateable and a piece of shit is that he was a preachy motherfucker to everybody.
Oh, he sure was.
And I didn't even realize this until, like, I was an adult. I just really liked listening to – I loved the old reruns of the show when I was a kid. I fucking liked the stand-up because it was clean stand-up and I was allowed to listen to it. And I thought I was listening to a great. And this fucking guy, all through all of it, every time he had a microphone in front of him, he's just like,
the kids, they listen to the rap music, which gives them the brain damage. With their hippin' and the hoppin'.
He's just fucking complaining about everything on the fucking planet. But the second he gets a woman alone,
that?
It was from The Simpsons. Okay. Making fun of him.
The kids listen to the rap music.
He did want black people to pull their pants up. I remember that quite vividly.
Do you remember when was the first time you think you heard about like the Cosby dope and grope?
So for me,
old dope and grope.
For me, it was when everybody else kind of heard about it, which was who was the comedian who
Hannibal Buress.
Yes, Hannibal.
So, but I've known about this since the mid 2000s.
You had known about it.
I had known about this. Okay. So like I had heard fucking inklings and stories. It was kind of an open secret in comedy circles.
Right.
So. Like, I'd heard these rumors, I'd heard all the stuff, and then the Hannibal Buress thing happened. And I'm going to play you the audio of the clip where Hannibal fucking just ripped the Band-Aid off and ruined fucking Bill Cosby's life.
Yeah, God bless Hannibal for this.
Yeah, listen to this. You're going to laugh your ass off because he nails it.
Bill Cosby has the fucking smuggest old black man fucking persona that I hate. This kid's on TV. Pull your pants up, black people. I was on TV in the 80s. I can talk down to you because I had a successful sitcom. Yeah, it was great women, Bill Cosby, so kind of brings it down. I don't curse on stage. Well, yeah, you're a rapist, so.
He later goes on to say, hey, why don't you do yourself a favor and Google Bill Cosby rape? You will get more hits than you will for the name Hannibal Buress.
That's
how he ended it.
That's awesome.
And there was a deposition in 2005 and 2006 that had kind of gotten out where he flat out admitted I use Quaaludes to entice women into sex.
Correct, yes.
And that's stuff was out there in the open.
They weren't allowed to use that, though. They weren't allowed to use that in court, right?
Right, because it was part of another settlement.
Yeah.
Right. So, like, this stuff was out there. People knew about it. And he continued to just fucking live his life. Now, what happened after this was just an absolute fucking deluge of hate towards Bill Cosby. Mm-hmm. And some people lined up to defend him. Like, Felicia Rashad, the actress who played his wife on the show, would you like to hear how she defended him?
Yeah. This is not about the women. This is about the obliteration of legacy.
My checks are disappearing. Don't you understand? They're canceling the syndication.
Yeah.
So everybody was trying to defend him. Everybody that knew him was trying to defend him. But during these court procedures, stuff started coming out. Camille was writing checks for decades to these women.
Really?
She was writing the checks.
Wow.
He had a guy who was his land manager who would also write checks to women.
Interesting.
He had been paid people off forever. There's over 60 women who have come out and accused him of things. He was found guilty, obviously, on April 26th of 2018 on three felony counts of aggravated indecent assault against this woman named Andrea Constand, and he was sentenced to 3 to 10 years in prison. Now, he's a piece of shit. I want to show you my favorite video ever.
Okay.
Now, you're really going to enjoy this, Carl. This is Bill Cosby walking into court. And I cannot take credit for this. Someone filmed this with their phone, and I love their commentary. You're going to enjoy this. I think it might be King of All Blacks from the Howard Stern Show.
Okay.
His suburban Philadelphia home.
Oh, he's being the Cos. Did you see that?
Yeah, he was doing the little head moves.
He was like, do-do-do-do. Yep. Like he was doing like a half dancing as he's walking into the courtroom.
Yeah.
I mean, I want you to realize how heinous the shit he did. Fucking heinous. Here, listen to a witness for yourself.
Can I go to you, Lily? You thought Bill Cosby was mentoring you initially.
Oh, yeah. I didn't think that. I knew that.
Actress Lily Bernard appeared on The Cosby Show. Lily says Cosby won her trust. One night in 1990, she says, he offered her a drink.
He said, drink it, Bernard, drink it. And very quickly, the room started spinning.
Lily says she became incapacitated and Cosby raped her.
And then the next memory, I'm on the floor, on the carpet. And I remember the sensation of the carpet against the flesh of
what?
My
what? No
back.
Jackie Martling
like
clips?
Velcro, like this. And it hurt and I couldn't move because of the drugs. And I remember him on top of me. I passed out again. My next memory is there's cold water splashing on my chest. You know, he was bathing me. And I woke up with cold water splashing
her.
On my chest. Ugh. And I still was really groggy and like a noodle, like a wet noodle. He pulled me to the edge of the bed and he, because I couldn't, he was pulling on my stockings very quickly and took me to a car.
That is great. Give us a chocolate cake. Bam.
I mean, what the fuck?
Yeah, this guy, he could have like probably slept with these women if he had asked them, but he just wanted to, he didn't want to go through that at all.
Carl,
he wanted to be unconscious.
Carl, here's another thing that's going to add to this. There are women that came out that were in, that were having affairs with him, that were in willing relationships with him.
Yeah.
And he would still drug them.
Right.
Like, he still wanted.
That was like his thing.
He
that was
really
his thing.
Fucking got off on it.
Yeah.
Now,
it's fucking crazy.
Bill's been in jail for 3 years. He was up for parole this year, like a month ago.
Yeah.
And he was not granted parole. The reason he wasn't granted parole, and there was literally, they cited one reason.
Yeah.
He refused to take any type of therapy for sexual addiction. He refused.
This is hilarious.
He would rather, he's 83 years old. He would rather sit in jail than admit he has a problem.
Listen to this. My buddy Orenthal has advice for Bill Cosby.
Bill Cosby decided not to take a course, a sexual course in prison, and it probably cost him his parole. So he's not getting out. Well, when I was in camp, I took anything. All the courses. I wanted to get home to my kids. I took a victim impact course that was particularly galling to me because I had to get up and apologize to my victims. And I got up and said, guys, I'm sorry I caught you trying to sell my stolen property. I'm sorry I yelled at you. And I'm sorry that the state of California ruled it was my property, gave it back to me, and you didn't get to make any money off my stolen property.
I love this guy.
No remorse at all. Yeah, we both
so
have
great.
A couple of fucking psychopaths. I can agree there.
He's like, Bill, just go along with it.
Carl,
you don't have to believe it. You don't have to learn anything. That's what I did.
Carl, here's the fun facts.
Bill Cosby,
on the Carlson
really,
cast, Ross, our stand-up news guy, has been following Bill Cosby's prison adventures.
Okay.
And been giving me updates over the last few years. So in prison, what he has done is set up his own practice where people come to him to get advice.
Jesus.
Like he literally, they people, other inmates make appointments to go talk to the Cos. And he'll be like, you ought to lose some weight, son.
Well,
and shit like that.
He is a doctor. He is Dr. Bill Cosby.
He is Dr. Bill Cosby.
Yeah.
So the doctor is in. He's holding fucking court in jail. They say he's down to 187 pounds and all he does is work out. And he's 83 years old. And a quote from Bill, he says, when I get out of here, I'm wearing all my suits.
Really?
That's a quote from Bill Cosby.
I thought he lost his vision and was like a feeble old man. That's
he's
what he portrayed
apparently
in court.
Looking good right now.
He portrayed in court that he was on his last legs there.
Yeah, well, he was trying to get out early.
What was the profession? So he wrote The Cosby Show.
Yeah.
And so he wrote his character. What did his character do for a living?
He was an OBGYN.
Oh, okay. Yeah, interesting.
Yeah.
So even in his make-believe TV show, he was pretty obsessed with vagina.
Well, I got to say, though, like on his TV show, he was a fucking, OBGYN. In real life, he was an anesthesiologist. It's not exactly the same, but I get it. He was putting women to sleep with the drugs.
I get it.
Fucking Bill suck.
Very good.
Could you imagine having to depose fucking Bill Cosby and having to sit there and listen to him be like,
Boogeyman was the bokey of the man in the thing.
Mr. Cosby, did you rape that woman?
And he likes the father.
Mr. Cosby, do you remember Andrea Constant? Mr. Cosby. Like, what the fuck? He sucks so bad.
He does suck. I really loved
him as a kid. I really, really fucking loved him.
He also represented Kodak, which is a Rochester company.
Oh,
Jell-O,
yeah. Yeah.
Which is a nearby company. Jell-O was invented near here.
Yeah.
So for us upstate New Yorkers,
we're doing about as well as he is right now.
Yep. It all came crashing down.
All right, so you can vote at thecreepoff.com. I can't believe we actually did an episode that is OJ versus Bill Cosby.
It's pretty good.
That is pretty fun. Yeah. And these are both popular. We never both do popular stories at the same time. This is true. Fun. I can't wait to find out who wins. Make sure you vote at thecreepoff.com this week. And make sure you vote for Vinny. Now, at the end of this episode, make sure you stay tuned because I'm going to play a very funny clip of Eddie Murphy at an award ceremony winning an award that Bill Cosby won the year before. Okay. I have the audio. I'll save it for the end of the show. You'll enjoy.
Beautiful.
All right, kids. Let's get to some voicemail, shall we?
The Creep Off voicemail segment is brought to you by the City of Syracuse. A police officer accused the city of racism and is suing for $33 million. You have nothing to worry about, though, because we don't have that kind of money. See you in Syracuse.
Where is Syracuse going to get $33 million? Where would they find that? How is that possible? I guess they're going to go to the Baldwin's mom. See if she can borrow some cash from her kids or something.
That one really made me laugh, too, when I first heard it. McBride, that was solid, buddy.
It's funny.
All right, here's some voicemails.
Hey, Vinny, my speaker broke up. I missed that part about your wrestling fantasy team.
Oh, the high heels?
Can you
weird first
tell
place.
Me about your wrestling team? Nobody what? Cares about your wrestling team, oh. Your fantasy wrestling team, you fat-titted zilch.
Hey.
No one gives a fuck.
Agreed.
Go put fucking Neosporin on the underside of your tits so they don't chafe. You fat slob, you.
That's good advice.
I appreciate that. This is Carl again calling in just to bother everybody.
Yeah. Welcome to the Creep Off. This is Carl, the excellence of execution, the cerebral assassin, Latino heat, Seamus McKillin' it, the hero of the stupid, the rabid Wolverine, the open maniac, Mr. WrestleMania, the whole fucking show, balding the club feet, the hamburger, Carl. That's how you do a fucking intro, Vin.
Ladies and gentlemen, that will be Carl's new intro on the show from now on.
Seamus McKillin' it.
Seamus McKillin' it.
Very good.
The Opamaniac.
What was it about the balding club footer? What was
that? The balding club.
I still have hair.
Yeah, whatever you want to say. Okay. Hey, I love to hear from people who are checking out the show and learning from it. Here's Tucker Dixon.
Hey, Carl. Hey, Vinny. It's Tucker Dixon here. Whew, I sound defeated. It's because I've gone through your back catalog, and I am halfway through all the creep-offs. I don't know if I lost a bet. I don't know if I lost an argument, but I'm doing it. I'm almost there. You guys are a bunch of sick fucks. Ugh. Anyways, Tucker out. I hope that was under 43 seconds, and I'll hear this in a couple of days.
Well, he Tucker checked out. Back in to let us know how he was doing.
Carl, Vinny, Tucker Dixon again. I am more than halfway through this creep-off show. Catching up on everything, and there is one thing that is abundantly clear. One person sucked at this show and is absolutely terrible.
Yep.
And that person is Lenny Dykstra.
Goddamn right. Research,
he pulls first Google result and puts in the bare minimum effort. Fucking Lenny Dykstra. Tucker out. Call me back.
I have to tell you that as I was thinking of childhood heroes, I was thinking about the 86 Mets. Now I'm a Cubs fan, but everyone loved the 86 Mets. And I did think of maybe
not the Red Sox.
Lenny Dykstra.
Now, ladies and gentlemen.
I got some voicemails.
Oh, okay. Yeah. I'm going to play one more when you're done with that. No, go ahead. Right. You're good.
Here's the thing. We all know Vinny doesn't contribute to a lot to the creep-off. But
I'll fucking
Kyle, you were about to tell a story about your awful
club. You're saying you want a piece of me.
I was interested. I'm sure we all were. But Vinny's fat voice just steamrolled all over you.
Yep.
So anyway, if you hear this and you'd like to tell us the story of you and skateboarding, we'd like to hear it. And maybe Vinny can just shut his fat fucking trap for once and stop stomping all over you.
I don't care.
Call me later.
My jokes don't go over.
Vinny, you're fat. You're a fat slob.
I don't care.
You have big fat tits.
I don't,
and you have
care.
A fat voice.
I
and a fat face.
Don't care. I don't care. I'm happy, go lucky. Women call me plucky. I don't care. Shut up. I don't care.
Here's another one. Fuck.
Fat-titted Vinny Paulino is the Vinnie Paulino of comedy, and he's criticizing the fucking Doors. Just take that in for a moment, folks. Fat-titted Vinny, the Vinnie Paulino of comedy, is criticizing the Doors. Yeah. Chew that one. Chew on that cud for a little bit, fatso.
Hey, stupid. I didn't criticize the Doors. Oh, fuck you. Fuck you. I didn't criticize the Doors. I criticized Doors fans. They're way shittier than the band itself. And fuck you, dude.
Keep calling the WATP hotline for your voicemails. They will definitely get on the air. Here's one more.
Vinny thinks he's so funny. Vinny thinks he's funny.
Perfect voicemail. Brilliant. Brilliant. Keep them coming, everybody.
I don't think that was a good voicemail.
Keep them coming.
That wasn't a very good voicemail at all.
Keep them coming, everyone.
All right. Somebody called in to tell us a story about a real life creep. And Carl, I think this one was pretty interesting.
Hey, this is just me calling in to give you a creep. I'm the guy who gave you the creep about the Zune player full of child porn. I got another one. I used to go to church with some kids who got adopted by a family who went to the church. Apparently, their parents decided that they didn't want to take one of their kids on a weekend vacation. So they tied up the, I believe he was 4 years old, the four-year-old boy, put him into a closet and left him there all weekend where he couldn't get out. And they came home surprised to find that he was dead. And then they just went to the park and pretended like he was in the stroller and then acted as if somebody had kidnapped him.
Look at that man.
What they really had done was made the two children that I knew bring them with them to the woods and help them burn the body.
Jesus.
So yeah, I thought that's a fucking real creepy story. It was all over TV. They did this whole dramatic reenactment thing on I think it was like IDTV or something like True TV.
All right, okay, whatever. I don't know what network it's on. It's fine.
Yeah, I'm good. I'm not going to watch.
Interesting.
Fucking, they made the kids help burn the bodies. It's good. You teach kids the skill when they're young.
That's right.
All right, so
you get a badge for that one.
You got anything else, dickhead?
I'm good, buddy.
Fine. Are you ready to debut our new segment, Carl?
Oh, yeah. We got a new segment. That's right. You teased this on Twitter, yeah. I saw.
We have zero effort put into the opening to this, but I would like to make this a regular segment on the show. Because, you know, you were making fun of Bobby Lee a little bit on your show.
Sure.
And you told me the dick does something similar. But we're going to start a little segment called Dear Carl, where you could write into us at the Creep Off about your creep conundrums.
Yes.
How can you deal with the creepy things you've done? And what should you do in a situation that might not be anybody as good as Carl to give you that advice?
Correct.
I mean, you are pretty much an expert on most of this shit.
I'm a learned man. I'm scholarly.
Now, our
friend
certainly
help out.
Igor sent me a link to a story that was on Zambia One. And this was a letter that was written into the newspaper from a woman who needed advice.
Let's hear.
And you know what? Honestly, they're not going to be able to answer this question as good as you will. So I'm going to read this to you.
Okay.
Dear Carl, I'm a 34-year-old married woman with two kids. I have been married for 7 years now. My husband is a very caring man and the type of man every woman dreams of. But the issue is that I am not faithful to him. I have been having sex with my biological father since age 18. My mother got to know of this affair 4 years later. After she got ill later and died shortly after, I blamed my mother's death on my actions and promised to stay away from my father. But I could not resist. Returning to my father's bed after my mother's death, our bond even grew stronger, and my husband thinks I'm spending more time with my dad because of the death of my mother. So she's got like this built-in alibi there, Carl.
Sure.
Yeah. And my husband thinks my two kids are his, but they are my father's children. They look like my dad, but because I look like my dad also, no one suspects anything. Another built-in alibi. My affair with my father has ended my past relationship because I was never sexually satisfied with my ex-boyfriends. I do not want to lose my husband because he is a good man and I love him very much, but I am unable to curtail the sexual bond between my dad and I. Now, I want to make things right without hurting neither my husband nor my father. How do I disclose this to my husband? Please help me, Carl.
All right, so I do know a lot about this because before I met my wife,
your dad?
Before I met my wife, every girl who dated me was fucked by their dad in one way or another. So this is pretty common. And I just have two words on what you do about this, and that is the devil's threesome. You have to get your husband to fuck your dad. You have to get your husband to suck your dad off so that he also has a bond with this guy. And now you guys have an activity that you can all do together.
Or at least you have a secret.
Let's go visit my dad. Sounds good.
Oh, fuck you, Michael. He just said that if I had this segment, it'd be called Dear Flabby.
Ask Flabby. That's pretty funny. Maybe we can rotate back and forth on it.
Well, if you want to send in your creepy question to Dear Carl, feel free to send it to thecreepoffpod@gmail.com.
Well, as Bobby Lee would say, you should make your husband suck your dad's semen out of your ass, I believe is what Bobby Lee was talking about on his show. Which is a bit disturbing.
Yeah. I'm glad I've never met your father. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I guess it's time for a scum parade, shall we?
Watch out for the scum parade. Oh, no, it's a scum parade. Look out for the scum parade. Making Vinny's day.
Reno, Nevada. A Lyon County man has been charged with nearly two dozen criminal counts accusing him of arson and impersonating a firefighter. This man possessed more than $50,000 in uniforms, equipment, and other items stolen from area fire agencies. Kevin Kreider, 29, of Dayton, was in possession of a firefighter badge and a firearm when he was arrested Monday while attempting to set a fire near Mound House, the state fire marshal said Wednesday. The marshal in the Central Lyon Fire District launched an investigation and conducted surveillance operations following a vehicle arson fire in the same area on June 14th. So this guy set a car on fire and put it out.
Yep.
He's just driving around pretending to be a fireman. He bought a decommissioned fire truck.
They said the truck was retired. I'm like, trucks get to retire? I didn't even know that that was a thing. This guy put so much effort into pretending to be a firefighter. Just become a firefighter. It's not that difficult.
Half of them are volunteers anyway.
They're all pyromaniacs. I know firefighters. They all love setting fires. Did you know the town that I grew up in, Spencerport, our building?
You grew up in Spencerport?
I did.
Ew!
What? The firehouse burned to the ground in Spencerport. They love setting fires, these guys. They can't get enough of it. I don't know why this guy's putting so much effort into pretending to be a firefighter. And since when do you need a badge? What do you mean a badge? Is someone checking for your badge as they walk
fire
into your house?
Stop right there! You stop burning right there. I said freeze.
This guy would fit right in. He should just show up to the firehouse and just act like he works there. Start cooking chili.
This is fucking crazy. The investigation led to the discovery of several other arson fires in the area, industrial burglaries at fire stations. Critter, who reportedly wouldn't identify himself, also was in possession of a retired fire engine, like we said, emergency lights, and a siren.
He's driving around in a fire truck. It's like, how come that truck only has one guy in it? Don't they usually bring a few? Is there usually a guy hanging off the back?
And, like, you notice your house is on fire, and this fucking asshole shows up, he's trying to connect the hose by himself. He's like, hold on, I got this. Oh, how do I do this again? He doesn't know what the fuck he's doing. And you're like, hey, dude, why does that fireman have a bunch of cans of gas with
him? Yeah, he shows up with gasoline. I'll help you with this. You want to burn this thing to the ground quicker? I can do that.
Hey, Carl, you worked in restaurants, right?
I did.
So did I. So were you ever a server? What did you do in restaurants?
I was mostly a line cook.
So you were back of the house.
Yes.
That totally checks out.
Yes.
Club fee, personality.
I did work front of the house from time to time at a charbroil restaurant in Spencerport.
A charbroil restaurant in Spencerport?
Yeah.
Okay.
Why? What do you mean?
Just, ugh. Ugh. Everything. They got to char everything in Spencerport. police station, the food.
Yeah.
So I'm just asking this because something really scary happened to a waitress Saturday, June 19th, my birthday, at Nifty 50s in Turnersville in Washington Township, New Jersey. Police say a 20-year-old waitress was taken away in a vehicle after confronting a group she had served in the restaurant who apparently skipped out on their bill.
Okay.
So these guys did the old chew and screw, yep, and they're trying to leave, and the server follows them out.
Dine and dash, I believe they call it.
I call it the old chew and screw.
Yeah, I gotcha.
So these guys, like, go to leave. She follows them out there, whether or not it was to confront them or to get their license plate number, whatever she was going to do. They grab her and put her in the vehicle, and they beat the fuck out of this girl.
Yeah.
And they drove, like, two blocks away and threw her the fuck out of the car in the middle of the street.
Yes. And police said, do not chase down people if they didn't pay their bill. Leave it to law enforcement to do that. And I said,
no shit, Sherlock! No shit!
Dude, and this girl, employee of the fucking year, the first thing she did was run back to the restaurant. Like, she didn't get up and try to find a phone.
They threw her out of the vehicle. They made a U-turn and threw her out of the vehicle.
And she got up and ran back to the restaurant like, oh, table 8 needed ketchup. Which she had to fucking run back.
So these are five guys.
I have to drop checks.
These are five guys who skipped out on the bill of $70. What restaurant would five people be served for $70?
It's called Nifty 50s.
Are you sure it's not a Burger King? Because I've never had a bill less than $70.
If you tried to hand me a $70 bill at a Burger King, I'd pass out.
New Jersey is weird. Like, you can't pump your own gas, you can't turn left, and apparently you can't throw out your own fast food wrappers. They have to have a server come over to you at Burger King. I was very confused by this story, I guess is my point.
Yeah, so either way, they have not caught these guys yet. They're still out there free. So just a cautionary tale for those of you who work in the food service industry. Who gives a fuck? It's not your restaurant.
You know what it was, though? If she would have gotten 15% on that $70.
Carl, what do you tip, 15 or 20?
Oh, I go over 20 every time.
I go at least 20. Yeah. Even if you're a piece of shit to me, I'll give you 20.
And that's the problem, is that I get terrible service and I still tip them.
Yeah.
That's why tipping doesn't work.
The both of us.
Americans are fucking dumb, man. When you go to Europe, there is no tipping. It's actually frowned upon. I remember I was at a bar in New York City. And there
aren't you intercontinental?
And there was an Australian guy that I was talking to. And I was leaving money in the bar. He goes, you left your money there. I'm like, yeah, no, we tip here. And he was like blown away by that. I was like, what? Why? Why would you do that? And I agree.
Crocky, you leave a tip. I ain't never tipped nothing before more life.
That was what he said.
Yeah, specifically. Sounds great.
Anywho.
All right, so here's a fun one. This is another story from our buddy Igor. Ashland, Ohio, an employee at a Brighter Future home, which is a clinic specializing in mental health services, is facing charges after court records show she filleted a client. Christy J. Delaney, 46, of Ashland, was booked Tuesday on second-degree sodomy charge after court records show employees alerted Ashland police to the incident the day prior. According to her charging papers, Delaney was caught on surveillance footage performing oral sex on a male client who was diagnosed with an intellectual disorder and who was under the care of the state. Igor had the line of the thing when he sent it to me. He goes, it's nice to know you could have half a brain and still get a blowjob.
They say he's incapable of consent.
Yeah.
I'll do it for him. He consents.
Yeah, it's fucking
this
fine.
Woman is the employee of the month. She should not be going to prison for 5 years.
And what I'm saying here is the creeps are the police.
Yes. This woman's going above and beyond. You got people chasing guys out of the restaurant in order to get $70. This woman's blowing a patient. Like, these are all good things.
She's just like, you've had a rough run, honey. How about a blowy? I mean, she's a sweetheart. We love
unless
her.
Unless they found teeth marks on his cock, I don't think this woman should be arrested.
He's just like, it's a little toothy. You're going to
little
jail.
Little toothy, yeah. We're going to lock you up.
Fuck. So, either way, if you look at a picture of her, you don't want the blowjob. It might actually be assault. That face is
I didn't
fucking
see what
not
like.
Nice.
Oh,
she
right.
looks like me if...
That's enough. Yeah. You don't have to go any further.
If my face was scalded with hot water, she looked kind of great.
I hope we can make that happen.
Now, ladies and gentlemen, I got to tell you, we don't do this a lot, but I have a video I'd like to show today. Carl, did you watch this yet?
I did watch this video. It's quite disturbing.
Holy fuck,
yeah.
Kids.
Yeah.
So there is a staffing service in Orlando. I don't have all the details. We're going to watch the news video here because I couldn't find. I guess the original video was a little tough to find, but there's a staffing agency, and a guy who had been working there for a couple of months was asked to go home because they didn't have any work that day. And he did. He went home, but he came back and caused a little bit of a fracas.
Yes, he did.
Here's the video. Let's watch it together, Carl, shall we?
Let's do it.
When a man attacked employees with a machete, he eventually was caught. One of the employees who faced that suspect talked to News 6's Troy Campbell
tonight. This,
that story
is
all new at 11.
So,
according to online jail records, the 31-year-old suspect has been locked up here at the Orange County Jail ever since the attack back in February. We spoke with the employee of the business who fought back, firing his gun at the suspect, potentially saving lives in the process.
Because I literally looked down the barrel of my own pistol and didn't get a bullet in my head. So,
yeah, this dude's a hero,
man.
This
surveillance video, posted on YouTube by Active Self-Protection, James Guthrie says he is fighting off 31-year-old Arraigne Mitchell Bryant.
That dude fucking straight up chops a woman in the back of the fucking head with a machete.
Couldn't even see him coming with the suspect.
And grabbed him and started pulling
away
from the wall.
They said she's fucked. As we were so he goes
wall,
after this dude, and this guy has a gun. He pulls
Guthrie
it.
Says the
he ends
suspect
up shooting the dude in the arm.
Had been showing up to work at the day labor service for about 6 months leading up to the attack. He says that day, Mitchell Grant was sent home because there wasn't enough work.
There
only
it goes.
To return,
now
armed
they're wrestling
with a machete 2 hours later.
There's a gun
Guthrie
and a machete
says he served
loose.
In the Army and was trained to fight in combat. Skills, he says, came into play when the unthinkable
and
happened.
And what he did was, this is really
reaction.
Brilliant.
So
what he did was he got that
like
machete underneath
super
him.
Crazy,
right?
Yeah. Awesome dude.
And he got it so that it was behind him and flat. So he laid back on it so the guy couldn't get it back up and was holding him there. And he had already got one bullet in the dude's shoulder, so he couldn't do much. The guy had no choice but to retreat. But goddamn, is that a bad day at work?
It's like the old saying, don't bring a machete to a gunfight.
Fuck no.
Yep, you're not going to win that one,
with
my friend.
With a fucking U.S. Army vet.
I love
a
this
good
guy.
One this time.
Did you hear what Guthrie said? He goes, I'm not like some super crazy awesome dude. Did someone accuse you of that? I'm going to go around just saying that to people. Listen, guys, I'm not some super awesome dude. Just FYI.
Well, actually, Mr. Guthrie, I actually am. Thank you.
Listen, I'm not a super crazy awesome dude. I don't know why everyone keeps saying that. But that's, you know, I'm a little bit too humble to admit to that.
That poor girl who got hit with the machete, there's apparently more video of this summer. I could not find it, but there's blood everywhere.
Ugh,
after
brutal.
Part of this, and she's not going to be okay.
No.
She's
no.
got it. She has a real problem.
Necks are not built to take that type of impact.
Dude, it's like he was trying to chop off a coconut. Like, he really swung like he was going to fucking lob
that. He's a big OJ
off.
Fan.
Yeah, man. Dude, if that dude played for the Bills, that could have been way worse. All righty, kids. Are you ready for our final creep off story?
Are we
this
doing
week?
This one? Oh, okay.
Are you? You're not okay here.
Fuck
huh?
you, Vinny.
You're not okay on this one, huh?
Fuck you, Vinny.
This one's really gonna bother you, huh? This one really got me too. I actually went downstairs and hugged my wife after I read this.
Jesus.
Okay, kids. So listen, before I read this story, I want to let you know that next Monday we're going to be taking off, but we're going to be back on Wednesday with a brand new episode.
Yes.
Because Carl's going to be out of town.
I'll be in Vegas, but we'll have an extra special guest.
Yes.
On the show.
Coming to join us. It's already planned and booked, but I'm just telling you that now before I read this so I can make sure I leave you on the most sour of notes. Stephen Bokay, 54, of Brighton East Sussex in England, allegedly approached the pets close to their homes in his neighborhood, little kitties. He'd see little kittens.
Oh, cats.
And what he would do is he would start showing them some affection. He'd be go, psst, 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 psst. Come here, little kitty, kitty,
scratch
kitty,
their
kitty.
Heads.
Oh, they're purring. Mm-hmm. And then he would reach into his bag and pull out a knife and stab the cat at least once.
Yeah.
And then just walk away like nothing fucking happened.
Yes.
Now, he did this a bunch.
He did this for years.
There was a wave of stabbings, at least from October 2018 through June 2019. Now, the police did not know what to do. Some of these animals died immediately. Some of them, like, tried to crawl back to their houses. A couple of them fucking survived this.
Yeah.
But this is a psychotic behavior. And he was just out there fucking stabbing these animals. Now, the vets were like, this is definitely looks like somebody's doing this with a knife.
Yeah, the vets ruled out that the cats fell out of a tree. I was like, wow, they must have gone to school for a long time to figure that out.
Yeah.
Oh, that's not a wound from falling out of a tree? Like being cut in the stomach? Really?
Yeah.
You think?
They ruled. It says they ruled out accidents. car accidents or falling from trees as possible causes of injuries.
Good job.
They added, these were penetrative and clean wounds.
Right. Yes. I am not a vet, and I could have figured that out. Yes.
The cats, Mr. Bouquet is accused of killing, Hannah, Tommy, Alan.
Tommy the cat?
Nancy, Gizmo. Should
have had a drop for that.
Gizmo, Hendrix, Kayo, Ollie, and little Cosmo. Now, in May of 2019, this fucking reign of terror ends because Bouquet was allegedly caught on a closed-for-caption TV camera attacking that cat, Hendrix, who was a 9-month-old black kitten who was sitting on a wall near his house. So this cat made it back to its house. They rush it to the vet, and he finds out across the street his neighbor's got a camera. So he goes over there, and they watch this fucking shit together. This motherfucker did this, then realized that the camera was there, walked away after murdering the cat, then came back. Is that me?
It's me. It's Tommy the cat.
Oh, cool. Yeah, Tommy's dead. Tommy ain't here, man. So this guy walks back, walks up to the camera, looks into it, walks the other way, then comes back a day later, looks back at the camera again. So this dude knew he got busted. And he got identified from posters in the neighborhood.
I'm kind of mad at the Daily Mail now. Remember how I was saying I really love the Daily Mail?
Yeah.
In this article, there are no fewer than 10 pictures of very cute cats and kittens. They have to, like, keep sprinkling them in as you're reading about these horrific crimes.
It's like watching the fucking In Memoriam at the fucking Oscars.
I don't even think these were the pictures of the cats. I think they're just, like, cat pics.
Like, just...
They just threw it in there just picks. To make it worse. And it's kind of fucked up.
I mean, this is so fucking heinous. I couldn't think of a better story to leave you all on for a week and a half. Hey, Carl. That was episode 69.
That was episode 69, dude.
It's nice to be important.
It's more important to be nice.
Good gear.
69, dudes!
You're going to love this. This is Bill Cosby ruining a classic.
That's right. All that's good.
Oh, no.
It was 20 years ago today that Sergeant Pepper taught the band to play.
No.
And they've been going
real.
In and out of style, but they're guaranteed to raise a smile. So may I introduce to you the act you've known for all these years, Sergeant Pepper's Lonely Heart Club
Band. It's yours truly.
Oh!
You know you f***ed up when they want you to give your trophies back. You want to give your trophy back too? He should do one show where he just come out and just talk crazy now. I would like to talk to some of the people who feel that I should give back my trophies. Just because you may have heard recently that I allegedly put the pill into people's chocolate. I wish somebody would come up to my house talking about give up the trophy because you put the pill in the people's chocolate. You get no. Because I'm not giving back. And who is Hannibal Buress? Hannibal Buress. First of all, Hannibal is a caveman's name. And you gonna just come on out and push over the apple cart to Hannibal. If I ever see or meet this Hannibal Barrison person, I am going to try to kill this nigga.
I mean, this guy was a real jerk.
This is stupid.